to be here with you for this edition of Super Powered Pop, brought to you inside of the Parker Banner Kent and Wayne Studios. Parker Banner Kent and Wayne are our exclusive studio partner, meaning that they are with us for every broadcast of Super Powered Pop with Dan Tortora. We appreciate them so very much. You can find the wonderful Parker Banner Kent and Wayne Comics and Games on 21500 Catawba Ave, Suite A in Cornelius, North Carolina. Just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, you can find them there with you. And we suggest that you head over there today and all throughout the week, open 7 days a week, Parker Banner Kent and Wayne, my comic book shop of choice, 21500 Catawba Ave, Suite A in Cornelius, North Carolina. I've been there for many years, and I appreciate Matt Milburn and his entire team for all of the wonderful work that they do. With that being said, I am so happy to be here with you. As you can see behind me, the X-Men is what we're talking about today, and I'm wearing my X-Men t-shirt that I'm very excited to show off. It's got Beast on the top. It's got the Phoenix. It's got the Phoenix. It's got Storm. You'll also see on this, we have Wolverine in the center, Colossus holding them up here. We have Psylocke, and we have Cyclops. So love this shirt, and love that we get the opportunity to speak on the X-Men today. So I have been rewatching the movies of the X-Men and trying to refresh myself, getting excited about this Deadpool movie coming up July 26th, 2024. And of course, here as we are airing live, knowing that we're going to have some Deadpool trailers and some teasers and some cool things coming up, I'm very, very much looking forward to all that is to be here with this awesome, awesome X-Men world that we're going to be seeing here very, very soon. So very much looking forward to all that's coming up here. We're going to get into things. Obviously, the first movie that came out was X-Men. Then we had X2, X-Men United, X3, which was X-Men The Last Stand. And we also had X-Men Origins Wolverine. We had The Wolverine, we had Logan, and we had X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Dark Phoenix, X-Men Apocalypse, which came out before Dark Phoenix. So there's a ton of stuff. When you go back and you look at it and you say to yourself, in the first trio, the first trilogy that we had, like I said, it was X-Men, and then it was X2, X-Men United, and then it was The Last Stand. And then we had these Wolverine movies where they did X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is the one where we first saw Deadpool, which wasn't like Deadpool at all, right? The merc with the mouth had his mouth sewn shut. And then we had The Wolverine, where we see Wolverine, you know, try to give up his powers, give up his healing, give up his claws, only to find out that, you know, he wants to be Wolverine and stay Wolverine. So we have all of that when he's going through the troubles of losing Jean Grey and having her pass away. The Wolverine is a story of him kind of giving up the mantle of Wolverine and looking at just stepping away from everything. And then we go to X-Men First Class, which was a separate iteration of the X-Men, which then went into X-Men Days of Future Past. And then we had X-Men Apocalypse. And we had X-Men Dark Phoenix. So we got to see the Dark Phoenix twice, played by two different actresses. We only got to see Apocalypse once. Days of Future Past brought it all together in both X-Men timelines, which tried to shore things up. X-Men First Class was not really the first class, right? We had this movie, X-Men First Class, but the five original X-Men that I think about growing up as a kid and reading comics and whatnot was Iceman, who looked like a giant snowman. And so there was Iceman, there was Jean Grey, there was Cyclops, there was Angel, and there was Beast. And it was before Beast turned all blue and hairy. So that's what I think about when I think of First Class. So that one kind of threw me off in the first place. And so, you know, I mean, X-Men First Class trying to bring us all the way back. I was looking at some timeline stuff. I want to thank, you know, a bunch of people out there that have done so much work, X-Men movies, timeline, and kind of how we can break it all down here in the timeline. So as we get ready for the X-Men joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we know that we've already seen Beast. He He showed up in the Marvel's post-credit scene. And so he talked about Professor Xavier. So we know there's a Professor Xavier in this. And because Beast looks like the TV show, right, the X-Men cartoon that I watched growing up as a kid, we're thinking, okay, if it's in that timeline with the da-na-na-na-na-na, then we're thinking we're going to get Professor X in that yellow hover chair, which is what we saw in what was considered to be Earth 838, which had the Illuminati in it. So if we're going to get that Professor X in the yellow hover chair, which was also in the cartoon, and we get the Beast there, we know we're going to get the Kelsey Grammer Beast. So the young Hank McCoy, or pardon me, the old Hank McCoy, not the younger version of Hank McCoy. So there's a bunch of things in this timeline, a bunch of things to break down. And I want to thank the Den of Geek for their work that they put into all of this. So I'm going to kind of break it down as quick as we can and how the movie showed things. So we went back as far on the world timeline as 3500 BC in X-Men Apocalypse, where we got to see what, you know, Apocalypse as this original mutant, the first mutant N-Saber Noor, who became Apocalypse. So we go back to 1845, X-Men Origins Wolverine, to explain his backstory when his, obviously his real name, Wolverine's real name is James Howlett, and he grows bone claws after witnessing the murder of a man who raised him. He goes off with his brother Victor Creed, who becomes Sabretooth. And then in X-Men Origins Wolverine, we see them fight in a bunch of wars, the X-Men, the American Civil War, World War I, World War II. But before World War II, on the X-Men timeline in 1944, X-Men First Class has Charles Xavier, Professor X, meeting who would become Mystique. And Mystique breaks into the into Westchester, into what becomes the Xavier's home for the gifted youngsters. So we go back to that and see that here. German concentration camp has Eric Lenscher, who becomes Magneto, develops his powers after, you know, he sees a lot of horrible things happen in his life. And, they have that quarter scene in the murder of his mother and his response to it. We go back to X-Men Origins Wolverine to see World War II and D-Day in 1945 in the movie The Wolverine. We see that he is a prisoner of war in a Japanese internment camp when the atomic bomb is dropped on Nagasaki. He saves an officer named Yoshida from a blast, and then that connects back. In 1962, we jump to X-Men First Class, where Charles and Eric meet while they're both going after a Nazi Kevin Bacon, who's Klaus Schmidt, and they build a team of mutants to fight for the CIA. They part ways after the end of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and Eric Lenscher deflects a bullet, which ends up going into the spine of Charles Xavier, which paralyzes him, hence putting him into the chair. And then there's a bunch of continuity errors that happen in this. So there's a continuity error that happens in 2000 when X-Men Charles claims he met Eric at the age of 17. There's no mention of Charles and Mystique being brother and sister. So there's a bunch of things here that happen in this. But these timelines of X-Men Origins Wolverine taking us back far, the Wolverine showing us different things, and then going back and forth here with First Class. So there's a bunch of continuity errors. Like I said, I want to thank the Den of Geek for bringing us through these timelines. I'm not going to go through every single piece of this, but if we really look back on this and we say, okay, what's the timeline order of watching these movies outside of the post-credit scene where we see Apocalypse back at 3500 BC, the way to watch these movies is to go to X-Men Origins Wolverine, and then you go to X-Men First Class, and then you can go to Pieces of the Wolverine. You go back to First Class, and then you would be able to watch here. There's also X-Men, and then you go into X-Men, you go into X-Men, X2, X-Men United, you go into X-Men The Last Stand. You go back to the Wolverine, because, like I said, he's dealing with the loss of Jean Grey in the Wolverine after we have that, you know, the flashback to what he was before. Then we go into Days of Future Past, which is supposed to take place in 2023. Ironically, they made this movie years ago, and we see it take place in 2023, which is pretty cool. And then the new X-Men, that's the old X-Men timeline. So the old X-Men timeline taking us to first seeing Apocalypse in a post-credit scene, then going to X-Men Origins for Wolverine, then going to First Class, and then kind of finding our way through here to get to X-Men and so on. But then X-Men Days of Future Past, when we look at our new timeline, we see the Days of Future Past, we see Apocalypse, and then we see the Dark Phoenix, and then we start going into Deadpool and what Days of Future Past did to change things and how everything went about. So, and then we get into Logan, which is supposed to take place in 2029. And so it gets confusing. Okay. Basically, to start off the show, a lot of the stuff that came out of my mouth kind of sounded confusing because the movies we got first were X-Men, X2, X-Men The Last Stand, which was X3. Then we got X-Men Origins Wolverine and the Wolverine. We got those movies. And then we go into the quattro of movies here of X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, and X-Men Dark Phoenix, with X-Men Dark Phoenix being the last X-Men movie that we got outside of Logan and those Deadpool movies. So seeing all of this, what does this all mean? Because Days of Future Past, essentially what it did is it went back in time, it bonded the cast from both of these movies, which was really, really cool. I just watched Days of Future Past back again last night, watched a piece of it a couple days before, and then finished it up last night. So going back and watching Days of Future Past, it changes a bunch of things. Cyclops is alive, Professor Xavier is alive, Jean Grey is alive, Storm is alive. So Hank McCoy, Beast is alive, and it's the Kelsey Grammer Beast. So we see the Days of Future Past when they go back and they prevent Mystique from killing, and had the opportunity to kill the president, who at the time was Richard Nixon, had the time as in the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that, and also had the opportunity to kill Bolivar Trask, the creator of the Sentinels. And by not committing a murder there, we protect the future, and by having Sentinels not be created. The whole thing about Sentinels is they have shown up in movies. The Sentinels have shown up in the Danger Room, and so they showed up in X-Men The Last Stand, which was in the original trilogy. X-Men The Last Stand as the third movie installment, we saw the Sentinels in the Danger Room. We also saw the Sentinels in the Danger Room of X-Men Apocalypse. So in the third movie of both of the trilogies, we saw the Danger Room. And then in X-Men Days of Future Past, we saw the evolution of the Sentinels into having the powers of Mystique and Bolivar Trask being able to work these powers into the technology of the Sentinels, where they could, if they were sustaining any type of an injury from, let's say, Iceman, right? And Iceman's freezing them, they could absorb his power, and not only absorb his power for the Sentinel that's fighting Iceman, but that every single Sentinel would share this technology. So once one of them absorbed the power, they could give it to another one. So if one of them is fighting up against, Pyro or someone with, I think it was Cannonball or whatever it may be. So once they're fighting somebody who has the power of fire, then they could transport that. They could transfer that power to another Sentinel. So if they absorb it in one fight and there's another Sentinel somewhere else, they can send that power to that Sentinel to fight up against Iceman and to burn Iceman. So essentially, whoever these Sentinels in Days of Future Past, as they've continued to develop under having the Bolivar Trask technology that he got from studying the blood of Mystique, which all started with Mystique committing a crime, when they get this technology, the technology allows them the opportunity to absorb any mutant's power and then to use that mutant's power on whoever they want to use it on. So if you're fighting Colossus, you could absorb Colossus. So they would have to do is fight the mutant. And during this fight, Colossus might be using his power and he's beating up on this Sentinel, and then the Sentinel during the fight would absorb the power, be able to send it right back to Colossus, and then send that power on to any other Sentinel, which made the Sentinels very difficult to defeat and seemingly impossible to defeat in Days of Future Past, as we're put in a situation where it looks like humanity that has tried to help the mutants as well as the mutants themselves are on the verge of total extinction, which is why Kitty Pryde uses her powers to send Wolverine back in order to try and right the ship from all this stuff. So going back and watching these movies and seeing different pieces, and I didn't go back and watch every single one. I went back and watched X-Men, X2, X3, The Last Stand. I went back and also watched Days of Future Past. I watched pieces of The Dark Phoenix, and I watched Apocalypse. So going back and seeing all this, the question is, where do we go now? Because we've never seen Wolverine wear his yellow and blue suit, but we have seen his suit show up in these movies here. We saw it show up once in a briefcase. So now the question is, why is he wearing this in the Deadpool piece? Why did we see Beast at the end of the Marvels? So, you know, and we saw Hank McCoy as an older Beast, as the Kelsey Grammer Beast, which is from the original trilogy, and also at the end of Days of Future Past. So it technically bonds to both of the X-Men pieces that we saw, right? The first three, and then the next four, we saw him show up in both. So now we're going to get that Hank McCoy. The question is, why are we getting Hank McCoy? We've seen Professor Charles Xavier in the floating hover chair and the yellow chair in the Illuminati as the representation from the X-Men. In the Illuminati, we know that they have representation from the Fantastic Four with Mr. Fantastic. We know they have representation of the Avengers, so to speak, with Captain Marvel, but Captain Marvel is from the Rambeau family, as opposed to being the Captain Marvel Carol Danvers. So we see Rambeau there as Captain Marvel. We see Mr. Fantastic for the Fantastic Four. There's an open seat, which could be from Wakanda, could be T'Challa or T'Chaka from Wakanda. So we do not see them there. We see Charles Xavier representing the X-Men as Professor X. We see Black Bolt representing the Inhumans, the keeper of the Terrigen Mist, the protector of the Terrigen Mist crystals. And then we also see from the Avengers 2, you know, we would see not the Avengers 2, like the number 2, but we also see from the Avengers, we see the first Avenger in a different universe, which instead of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, we have Agent Carter become Captain Britain. So the question is, you know, we've seen Charles Xavier in the yellow hover chair, which goes back to the X-Men TV show, and that they're now making X-Men 97 and you're going to see this logo in X-Men 97 TV show, updating that from the one that came out when I was a kid. So now we've seen Professor X in live action. We've seen Ms. Marvel in her own TV show, and they played the da-na-na-na-na-na and said that she's a mutant. So they're now, which this makes no sense to me. Professor X shows up in Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness. When he shows up in Doctor Strange 2, he's there as the representation of the X-Men, and the Inhumans are in Earth 838 and representing in the Illuminati, like I just mentioned, we have the leader of the Inhumans, Black Bolt. So why you would introduce the X-Men and the Inhumans in the same Earth on 838, and then Ms. Marvel in the comics is an Inhuman, for you to now make her a mutant, doesn't make any sense. Because if you were going to completely erase the Inhumans, why would you have Black Bolt come back and then not have Ms. Marvel get her powers from the Terrigen Mist? And now you're making her a mutant here in the MCU, according to her TV show. So you bring back Black Bolt only to change the story of Ms. Marvel. Doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, she shows up, right? So I'm talking about strictly just the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we saw Professor X in the yellow hover chair, Charles Xavier played by Patrick Stewart, the older version of Professor X, not the McAvoy version here. So we got Professor X here in Doctor Strange 2. We got Miss Marvel as a mutant in Miss Marvel's TV show on Disney Plus, and we got Beast from the end credit scene of the Marvels. So we've gotten two on the big screen, one on the small screen. We have Beast, we have Miss Marvel, and we have Professor Charles Xavier. We have not seen the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Wolverine, but we now know in this Deadpool movie, and now Deadpool's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going to find out how, because he was a Fox property for Deadpool 1 and 2. So we're now going to figure out how this happened. Does he go through the time jumps and continue to do things besides save his girlfriend and find himself in other places using Cable's technology? We'll find out what he does in this respect, if this is something that sent ripples through time and how this has changed it. So, and thank you for here at the gates for liking the show. I appreciate that. So you can find us on the DTBM network. We're on DTBM, which stands for Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, DTBMnetwork.podbean.com, which is a network of shows, Superpowered Pop, Do Diz with Dan, as well as Comic Book Trails and more to come, hopefully, God willing. We're looking at some new stuff coming in with us. So excited about that. And of course, you're watching me on Facebook, and you can find us on Facebook, X, the former Twitter, and Instagram at Superpowered Pop. That's at Superpowered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, Pop, and any one of those, Instagram, as well as X and Facebook. So make sure you look for us there. So getting back to it here, we've only gotten three mutants in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but with Deadpool coming out on July 26, 2024, we're going to get Deadpool added to the MCU, and we're going to get a version of Wolverine that is wearing the comic accurate costume of the yellow and blue and black. So when we see that, that means we're going to have five. The question is, again, how does Deadpool get involved? And if we have the Wolverine that's accurate to the cartoon, and we have the Beast that's accurate to the cartoon, and we have Professor X that's accurate to the cartoon, I would imagine that we're living in an Earth that this cartoon took place in, whatever that Earth may be. Is it Earth 838? Is it a different one? But it seems all too coincidental, which I don't believe in coincidences, that we get the Beast that looks like the TV show, the cartoon TV show played by Kelsey Grammer. We get Wolverine, who's already interacted with Kelsey Grammer's Beast playing Wolverine for so many years. And we get Professor X in the hover chair, which is in the cartoon show and in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So does this mean we're going back to Earth 838? Are we going back to a time before Doctor Strange? Or are we going to into my deep dive, which I said that the Illuminati was way too smart to not know the power of the Scarlet Witch. So when we see them get defeated all too easily by the Scarlet Witch, I've argued that Professor X, that was actually a danger room setup thing, and that none of that actually happened, and that, you know, there's only two things to believe from Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Either that version of the Illuminati was extremely ill-equipped and stupid and naive and ignorant and just got beat, or that was a danger room setup. We've seen the danger room, like I said, in the two different timelines of the X-Men that Fox did. And here's my thing. Is 838 all too prepared for the Scarlet Witch? And so that entire thing was a danger room piece to see how powerful she was. So she thinks she defeated them all, when in actuality, they were safe in a bunker somewhere else. I'm just wondering to myself, if Professor X is from Earth 838, and that Beast and the Wolverine that we've seen in set photos look like they're from the same universe as the TV show, then is it a coincidence that there's a Professor X in a hover chair in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? Or are we going to go to Earth 838 in the Deadpool 3 movie to see all of the cartoon TV show accurate X-Men? To me, we're either going to Earth 838 because it makes way too much sense, or there's another universe where Charles Xavier is in a yellow hover chair, and then you can easily move Wolverine and Beast to that universe. And you can say the whole time, that whatever universe the X-Men movies took place in when they were with Fox, whatever those movie, whatever that universe was, had our Kelsey Grammer, Hank McCoy, AKA Beast, had our Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, and had our Charles Xavier, Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart. So it's one of two things. We're either going to 838 or we're going to another universe that is truly this X-Men cartoon universe that we had seen so many years ago. A lot of us as kids, like me, were going back there. Because to have the have Kelsey Grammer have the comic book accurate costume for Wolverine and the hover chair, it's got to be 838, or there's we're going to learn of a new Earth that's that this X-Men cartoon took place in. And now we're going to see this X-Men cartoon in live action, which would argue that we're going to see Morph, that we're going to see Jean Grey, that we'll eventually see the Phoenix for a third time, that we're going to see Cyclops, we're going to see Storm, we're going to see Rogue, we're going to see Gambit, we're going to see Colossus, we're going to see Nightcrawler again. Will it be another iteration? Will it be Alan Cummings' Nightcrawler, which I thought for the technology back then when X2 X-Men United was made, one of my favorite scenes to watch is the opening scene of X2 X-Men United, because I thought they did a great job with the teleportation power. And I also think the younger version of Nightcrawler in the X-Men First Class and so on and so forth was pretty awesome too. And so, I mean, we're going to see Nightcrawler, we're going to see Banshee, we're going to see Mr. Sinister, we're going to, I mean, really see everybody. You go back to that X-Men TV show, we have the opportunity to see so many incredible characters that I'm really, really excited for and very much looking forward to. So, I mean, Morph was my favorite. The day the TV show came out, Morph was my favorite. And, you know, we're going to see the Sentinels. We will see Morph potentially die and come back to life. We could see a Wolverine avenging the death of Morph. We could see Deadpool telling Wolverine, you know, who is one of the people that you miss the most? And he can say, you know, hey, I have the power to go back in time and save your best friend. And we could see Morph come back into this. I would imagine Cyclops, Rogue, Storm, hopefully a Gambit, maybe a joke to Channing Tatum's Gambit. I'm sure that Ryan Reynolds can find a way to make a joke back to the Channing Tatum Gambit that never happened. But I think we're going to start to see all these characters, right? We're going to see, we'll see Sabretooth again. We'll see Magneto. We will see Mystique, Toad, and, you know, like I said, I think Mr. Sinister would be a really awesome big bad to see, and, you know, to go to these different islands, different things that have kind of been talked about. Moira McTaggart has a connection to Banshee, obviously a connection to Professor Charles Xavier, was played by two different actresses in the X-Men movies that we saw in total. So what I think we're doing in Deadpool is I think we're going to the X-Men universe. It makes of the cartoon, which makes perfect sense because we're going to see the new X-Men TV show coming out here. So I think it makes all too much sense that X-Men, the animated series that started back in 1992, that X-Men of the 90s that went from 92 to 97, which is now provoking the fact, which started with the Sentinels, by the way, and Morph getting killed by a Sentinel that stepped on him, which I'll never forget because, you know, after you pick your favorite character and he dies in the second episode, then my favorite character became Wolverine. Because if I'm not going to have Morph, I'm going to have, you know, Morph's best friend. So I was a big fan of Wolverine before Hugh Jackman played the role. I used to sharpen pencils as a child, and I used to put them in between my fingers and run around as Wolverine. Never poked my eye out, by the way, but kids, please be careful. So because that TV show went from 92 to 97, the new TV show that Disney Plus is coming out with is called X-Men 97. The series is going to start here in 2024. So just go with me on this. If we're getting this X-Men 97 here, and hopeful that we're going to have it very soon, if we're going to have this X-Men return, then everything that we've been talking about here on the show today, like I said, points to the X-Men universe, be it Earth 838 or a different Earth that we haven't seen yet. It points to Deadpool going to the X-Men animated universe from 92 to 97, which plays perfectly into why Disney, after all these years, would have the X-Men animated series come back and call it X-Men 97. So it makes sense to me that Deadpool 3 is going to the X-Men universe, and that X-Men universe is going to be on the live screen and then continue in the animated series on television, which would play into why Marvel made a decision to have Deadpool 3 come out as well as the X-Men animated series called X-Men 97, because whatever we see on the big screen in live action with live actors can continue in the animated series as well. And that could play to all of this connecting. So then that provokes you to go back and watch X-Men's animated series from 92 to 97, go see Deadpool 3, and then see everything continue in X-Men 97. So whatever Earth that is, be it Earth 838 or another Earth, we're going to the X-Men Earth, where the X-Men are running the show. Wherever we saw Photon go to in the opening of two universes colliding with each other, right? These things that form so many issues, these incursions that we heard from Mr. Fantastic, played by, at the time, the actor that many people wanted to see, John Krasinski, who I still think would be a good Mr. Fantastic. They said he was boring, but again, if you know anything about Mr. Fantastic, he is boring. He's scientific, he's logical, he's rational, he's a deep thinker. He's not really there to tell a lot of jokes. He's there to solve problems. So I think Krasinski did a good job, and I'd love to see him again, but I digress. So I think we're going to Earth 838 based on what we've seen in the movies, and that's wherever Photon is, that's where we're going. And it's either Earth, because there'd be no reason to have an end credit scene from the Marvels and know that there's no Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that comes out between the Marvels and Deadpool 3. There is a Marvel Connected Universe movie that comes out with Madame Web, but there's no MCU property coming from Marvel Studios between the Marvels and Deadpool 3. So why that end credit scene from the Marvels would have anything to do with the X-Men? Now, Photon's in that universe, meets another version of her mom, a third version of her mom. So either Photon is in that universe, or what I'm saying is here, I shouldn't say either Photon's in that universe. Photon is in that universe. So with Photon being in that universe now after the Marvels, Beast being in that universe, Professor X being in that universe, the hover chair already being in the movies, Wolverine in the set photos wearing his cartoon series costume, and the animated series coming back, it points to the fact that everything is connected to this X-Men universe. And there's a reason why we saw Beast. There's a reason why he's older. There's a reason why it's Kelsey Grammer's Beast. There's a reason. So now I'm thinking Patrick Stewart's coming back as Professor Charles Xavier. There's a reason why all this is happening. And there's a reason why it all looks like the animated series, because I think Deadpool 3 is going to lead us into X-Men 97 and connect everything together. So in the animated and the live action world, there's going to be a universal story being told about this Earth that the X-Men are on, which is my prediction, 838, or an Earth that we've never been to before. So it's one of the two, or else there's no reason in making the yellow hover chair be an Earth 838. So we're either going back to Earth 838, which in the comics, 838 is a notable Earth, and 616 is the regular Earth that we think is the, you know, comic book beginning was 616. So there's Earth 616, there's Earth 838. Those two are major players from what I understand. And so we're either going 838 or we're going to another one. But wherever Photon went to, there's no reason to have the last movie from Marvel Studios and the next movie from Marvel Studios. There's no reason to connect them unless there's a connection. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're taken off, you know, from that moment. And if we now see Photon and we see, you know, her mother and all of these things kind of just pull us all back into Beast and pull us in to Wolverine and eventually pull us into Deadpool. I think Deadpool, we're going to see him travel through time like he did at the end of Deadpool 2. He's going to change a bunch of things. We're going to end up somewhere. Maybe he forms an incursion, and maybe 838 is an incursion with another Earth we haven't seen. And maybe I'm going to be right on both fronts. Instead of it being one Earth or another, 838 or a new one, maybe it's both. Maybe he caused an incursion. Maybe that's Deadpool's issue in this movie. But whatever happens, I think that there's a reason why the Marvels is connected, Doctor Strange 2 is connected, why we saw the hover chair, why we saw this version of Beast, why the TV animated series is coming back. I think it all plays together. If it doesn't, then there was no reason to make any of these decisions. And I'll feel very strange and confused by the fact of planting all these seeds and then not using the flowers that grow from these seeds that you're planting. So that's what I think. That was my look back on X-Men. I really hope to get Nightcrawler because I love his powers. I'd love to get a strong Iceman. There's been this belief in reality that Iceman is actually one of the most powerful mutants in the entire mutant family, and that he can grow himself. He can do all these things. I would love to see Ian McKellen as Magneto. If we're going to see Charles Xavier as Patrick Stewart, then we have to see Ian McKellen. I'm happy that Beast is back and he's blue, but I also like the young version of Beast, so I'm kind of sad about that. I like the actor there too. So I'd like to see some cross here. I'd like to see a true X-Men first class, though. I would like to see an actual team of Charles Xavier leading Jean Grey, Cyclops, Angel, Beast, and Iceman. I don't know if we're ever going to get it. I don't even care if Deadpool goes back in time and shows it to us for 5 minutes, where he's like, you know, where we see Iceman look like literally just a snowman. But I would love to see this. I'd love to be an actual Angel story. I am a big fan of Oscar Isaac. I got to meet him. I got to talk with him. He was super nice, very personable, remembered my name, and I got to talk to him about, you know, everything that he's done and how much I appreciate his work and would love to see him continue Moon Knight. I did not like his version. It was like a drag queen version of the Apocalypse. I didn't like it. I don't think it's his fault. But Apocalypse is supposed to be massive. He's supposed to look robotic. This one to me just looked like a Las Vegas sideshow, which I was not a fan of that. I went back and I watched. I love Psylocke. I think one of the most comic book accurate costumes of probably the most comic book accurate costume besides Deadpool and what we're going to see with Wolverine in this new Deadpool movie. I think the most comic book accurate one was Psylocke with Olivia Munn. I thought that her costume was incredibly, I mean, that was like to a T what you would see on a card, video game, comic book. I thought that was great. So I think that that's like a little appreciated piece here, but I'd love to see the return of Storm. I don't think we've seen her powers. I've been waiting for Gambit forever. I'd love to see Scott Summers and Havoc together and somehow linked to Cable. So literally it's a clean slate. Marvel can do whatever they want to do, right? Because now they have the properties. Now they own the properties. And because they bought pieces of 20th Century Fox. So they could do whatever they want. The interesting thing is that they've only introduced three characters, Professor X, Miss Marvel, which I think is a mistake. Keep her as an Inhuman and let the Inhumans have their day. Why would you change her story, especially when you brought Black Bolt back in? You bring in Professor Charles Xavier and Black Bolt in the same movie, and then you change Miss Marvel's story when you've already admitted that the Inhumans and the mutants both exist, at least in Earth 838. Doesn't make any sense. And then you bring in Beast. So we've only seen a few. Deadpool is going to bring us into this. Deadpool is going to kill somebody or let somebody live or do something. But I think that we're flowing into the animated series, which means we'll finally get Gambit. We'll have Colossus continue from Deadpool. And we might get Angel for more than 5 seconds. That's not drunk in a barn or just flying around the city, but a real true version of Angel. We'll get a powerful Iceman. That would be great to see. And we'll go forward. So I'm excited what's coming up. Obviously, we got a Deadpool trailer. I'm going to be breaking that down as well. But this has been my breakdown of the X-Men from going back and watching the movies and re-educating myself with a bunch of these movies here, looking at the timelines, trying to understand things. Once again, I want to thank Den of Geek for all the work that they put in, because I went back and obviously took from some of that and utilized that. So I wanted to make sure that I gave some love to Den of Geek, because I utilized their research, and I believe that you give credit where credit's due. Here at the Gate said, just checked out the cast for Deadpool 3. Elektra and Loki are in it. Seeing Madam Web, can't wait. Yeah, I don't know what y'all are doing for Valentine's Day, but I will be taking myself out for a date to go see Madam Web. So I hope that you take somebody out or yourself and go and see it. And we're going to, I'm going to take a look at the IMDb really quick here for Deadpool 3. I am going to do a breakdown of Deadpool after I see a true trailer for this. But as of right now, the cast for, let me go here. The cast for Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds, of course, is Wade Wilson, AKA Deadpool. Hugh Jackman is Logan Wolverine. Marina Beccarin is back as Vanessa, which I don't care what anybody says. If they killed her off and she stayed dead, I was going to be really sad about it. I'm so happy at the end of Deadpool 2 that he uses Cable's technology to save his girlfriend. I'm so happy that Vanessa is back. We know that Jennifer Garner, and this is kind of interesting here that they made the decision to publicly release this, that Jennifer Garner will be back as Elektra. She is from left field here. Like that was the Fox Daredevil property that had no connection to the X-Men, but a connection to 20th Century Fox, which had the rights to Daredevil with Ben Affleck, with Bullseye played by Colin Farrell, and with Elektra played by Jennifer Garner. We saw her in her own movie, but we never saw her and Daredevil back together again. So this will be good here. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is back with Brianna Hildebrand. Very excited about that. Yukio is back. Love Yukio.
Hi, Wade.
So I love Yukio. She's awesome. Peter is back from X-Force, which I'm really excited to see that. Of course, Blind Al is back and played by Leslie Ugams. And we have Rob Delaney playing Peter. Shioli Kutsuna is playing Yukio again. Dopinder is back, who is always driving around Deadpool. Really excited for Karen Sony coming back. Pardon me on that. Stefan Kapisic is playing Colossus again, the voice of that, which I'm really looking forward to that. We don't have anybody else here. I thought it was interesting, though. I can understand them having Yukio and Peter and Blind Arrow and Dopinder and Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And obviously, you know, Logan and Vanessa, like showing us all of those is fine, right? Because then, right, it's only, what, TJ McCarthy that we don't have coming back here, who's a friend of Wade's. So that's a sad part here. That's and I want to make sure here that I get his name correct here. TJ Miller, not TJ McCarthy, pardon me, TJ Miller. So with TJ Miller, great actor. First time I saw him was in Cloverfield. Him not coming back is sad for me. I really would like him to be back. Maybe he's going to be back. Maybe they're just not announcing it, but he would be the one. So it makes sense to have the original cast plus Wolverine to tell us that they're all coming back. But the fact that they told us that Elektra is coming back is really interesting. You know, why they would put that in there when they're hiding everybody else. And they've done a good job at hiding it. The movie comes out in a few months. I hope they continue to hide it. You're not going to find here on Superpowered Pop that I'm going to spoil movies. I never do that. I wait 8 days before I do a spoiler review. I do a non-spoiler review right after a movie, but I will not do a spoiler review until 8 days have passed. I heard that rule years ago in radio, and I've stayed true to that rule. So I'm not going to touch a movie like that. I'm also not going to give things away before a movie starts. I never want to go into a movie knowing what's going to happen. So we're not going to do that here on the show because I believe that we should keep sacred movies and keep sacred things that you haven't seen and experienced. I don't think you should ever give something away. I think people should have the right to enjoy it themselves. So with that being said, that's been my X-Men kind of the booster here, the X-Men kind of re-going through information and also giving you what I think is going to happen, what universe I think we're going to be in, and how all of these things connect to Deadpool. So having some fun with it today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Find us on YouTube at Superpowered Pop. Find us on Facebook at Superpowered Pop and on X and Instagram at Superpowered Pop as well. From the Parker Banner, Kent and Wayne Studios, once again, when you are in the state of North Carolina, make sure that you head out there. It's worth a flight. It's worth a drive. I will fly from my hometown just to go here. And if you ask me if I'm true on that statement, you can ask the owner, Matt Milburn, and his team of how many years I've gone there. And with them not being in my backyard, I jump on a plane and will travel to Parker, Banner, Kent, and Wayne every time I'm in the Charlotte area. I make it a point to go out to Cornelius, North Carolina, to 21500 Catawba Ave, Suite A. You can find us on our social media at Superpowered Pop every Friday, giving you a special comic book that's available to buy on-site on location at Parker, Banner, Kent, and Wayne in Cornelius, North Carolina. It's called our Friday Find, and we air that Friday Find every Friday. And so you can find it on our social media and find out what you can get there while supplies last. For Parker, Banner, Kent, and Wayne, for everyone here at Superpowered Pop, for all of you wonderful people, and of course, I'm Dan Tortora. Thank you for watching this X-Men release of our conversation, this X-Men special on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora. We'll talk with you soon. And as always, remember, your superhero lies within.